Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you, Big Book Study. My name is Recovered Compulsive Eater.
Can't hear you, Brandy.
I'm sorry, Brandy, but we can't hear you.
We might need somebody to take over till Brandy can get back on. Can somebody do that? Who's been a moderator before?
Hey, everybody.
There you are.
Can you hear me now?
I mean,
yes, we can.
I can. We can hear you, Brandy.
I got muted. So today we are reading. We're reading from page 164 in the Big Book, and we are on paragraph "We never apologize to anyone for." And sorry, guys. Now I'm. Today's readers are Lorraine N. for the 12 steps, Jessica for the 12 traditions, Sherry KB for the first, she's our first reader, Julie EB for our second reader, and our backup for today is Christina. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition stage, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Lorraine N., recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. Grateful to be here and reading the steps this morning. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to read.
Thank you so much, Lorraine. I'll now ask Jessica to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Jessica. Jessica, we can't hear you. Please press star one. Christina,
hi,
do you have
heard
that keyed up? Oh, yep, yeah, yep, you can be.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, yes. Hi, I'm Jessica from Ohio, a compulsive overeater. The 12 conditions of overeater. Number one, a common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one main authority, a loving God as he may express himself in a good context. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only...
Sorry, Jessica, we're having a hard time hearing you. Can you just speak up a bit?
Okay. Three, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except it matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the foster overeater.
Sorry, Jessica, you're going to have to speak up again. I can't hear you.
Okay, six. An OA group ought ever endorse, finance or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to pass.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Jessica, for reading the 12 traditions. I'm just going to go back. I forgot to give the share IDs. So for July 1st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the share ID is 17,266. So that's 17266. And then for Friday, July 2nd, today, the 7 a.m. meeting is share ID is 17,271. So that's 17271. All right. Our meeting focuses, how our meetings work. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your share to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers must be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and today we are on page 68, starting with the paragraph, "We never apologize." I will now ask Sherry KB to get us started reading. Sherry?
Good morning. This is Sherry KB in Northern California, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Brandy, and Team Friday, and welcome everybody. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality is a way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let Him demonstrate through us what He can do. We ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. And okay, so I have to tell you these, the second paragraph and the third paragraph on page 68, I just love these paragraphs. So I'll just dive right in here. The first thing it's telling me is that, you know, I'm depending on my higher power. I've been through this. I'm going through the steps. And I'm from here on out, I made that decision on step 3 to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. So with every decision I make from here on out, it's with my higher power. So I'm depending 100% on my higher power. So I never have to apologize for depending on my Creator. I grew up in a family that thought leaning on anything was weak. And, you know, especially like being in 12-step programs, my family thinks, well, aren't you done by now? I mean, you've been going there for a long time. But you know what? I found a power greater than myself that I could live with through the 12 steps of OA and a 12-step life. And I am so grateful for that, having that way of life and spirituality. And, you know, it has strengthened me. And because being a compulsive overeater, I can't do this without a higher power. My strength comes from my higher power because I try to, my self-reliance and my strength failed me so many times, so many decades. And that's what's interesting is that it says paradoxically it is the way of strength because my higher power gives me the strength to stay abstinent. It's my higher power doing it, not me, and gives me the strength and the courage to do a lot of things in my life that I would never dream of doing before. And just the, having that faith and that courage, and that it says here they trust their God. And, you know, I love this saying, trust God no matter what it looks like, trust God no matter how long it takes, and trust God I'm going to be okay no matter what. And then here it demonstrates through us that we ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He'd have us be. That's a prayer right there. That's my fear prayer. I use that a lot. And it's used, actually, we use it in the fourth step and we use it in the tenth step. And whenever I am in fear, I ask God, You know, who I'm relying on, Sherry, infinite God or finite self? And infinite means limitless, means boundless. And finite means limited, which is me, is my self-reliant. And there's that prayer. And then here, right after there, is a promise, and that I will outgrow fear. How amazing is that? I commence to outgrow fear. And that's really important to me because my life has been ran on fear. And we read about that in the columns and everything, that, you know, underneath everything is fear. And I just want to end with, fear is forgetting every available resource. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry, for getting us started. We'll now open the lines for open sharing. If you would like to share, please state your name. State it only once so that I can hear you, and the last initial of your last name. So
Christina,
go ahead.
Jay.
Irene B.
Paula
B. Robin P.
I heard Kath.
Irene B.
Robin P. Irene B. I got Irene B. I heard a Kathy.
Christina J.
Donna B.
I got
B.
Christina J.
Donna B.
I got Donna B.
Dana
Was
P.
Is there a Kathy? Dana? Is there a Kathy in there? All right. Anyone else? Okay, let's not waste any time, and we'll start with Christina J. Go ahead. Christina J., I can't hear you. Star one to unmute.
Good morning. Sorry for that. Christina J. from the state of Washington, recovered for today with God's grace and the fear prayer. Without that, I wouldn't be able to face the day. Yeah, so the first meeting was powerful, one of the best meetings I've heard. If you have a chance to go back and listen, I highly encourage it. So courage to change the things we can and to do the things we can. I did many, many things in my life, really scary things. I learned early on that if I was going to get anything in life, that I had to do it myself. And so I immediately had the tool of self-reliance, and I just was bold. I went out and did things, and then I had to do things like leave my husband of 20 years in the middle of the night and leave him a note on the table. I mean, just that was just the tip of the iceberg for some of the crazy things I did in life. And, you know, I did these things with or without God, in and out of the or out of the food. But all along, no matter what I was doing, God was protecting me. I always felt this protection, and I didn't know I was, feeling that. But he's been a protector and a strength. But I also had the food, and I went to the food for comfort because I didn't know how to go to God for the comfort and the guidance that I needed because I had the food. So I would just continually squash down the fears from the things I was doing. And besides, I had my thoughts. I had my self-reliance. I had all that. So why should I go to God for my deepest anxieties and discomfort? I didn't know how to do that. I had no clue. But, you know, without the food, where am I going to go? I'm forced to go to God. There is no other way. There's no other solution for me. I heard a sage say once that if you start a discipline of meditation and prayer, your desire for it will grow. And I have to say that now I'm afraid not to do it. I want a deeper walk. I want the awareness of my feelings. Yes, they're painful. Yes, they're uncomfortable, really damned uncomfortable. But I can go to God in the morning. That's when I first go to God, and I can pray, and these things are lifted. It's a continual house cleaning for me of this 60-year-old dusty fears hidden in the crumbling boxes of my mind and heart. You know, I want to be free. I'm so haunted by unknown ghosts, and ghosts they are because they're not real. They seem so real. But, you know, I hear your testimony. I have ancient texts I can read. I listen to great sages and saints, and they all tell me, go to God, lay your fear. Lay your aching heart at his feet. Surrender the pain. He will take it all. And every day I have to do this just for this day to get freedom and peace. So, you know, the fears have a great purpose, really. I mean, it's really interesting because they drive me to my meditation chair. They drive me to pause throughout the day and drop my head and pray. I don't have food or shopping or drinking or drugging anymore to squash down all my feelings.
Time, please.
Again, I'll finish up. So again, it's precious God, the very heartbeat in my chest and my breath. I can never apologize for God to the sad and ignorant people who poo-poo their very maker. I used to, because I was afraid they wouldn't accept me if I didn't agree with them. But today I can be grateful that I have God and I have you and I have the program. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina. We'll now have Irene B. Go ahead, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B. from Louisiana, Bulimic from Louisiana. A two-letter text from my husband sent me reeling back into bulimia this past Sunday. I picked up. Okay. I binged and purged. I did that. To me, words speak louder. I mean, actions speak louder than words. So to me, this is total evidence that my reliance is on my husband and not on God. All these years, I've been thinking that my reliance is on God, but when I lost my husband, it looks like my reliance was on him, not on God. Because two word texts from him sent me reeling. And what I want is to have 100% reliance on God. That's my goal. If I could do that, I'd be a winner. That's my goal. That's my heart's desire. And all this time, I thought I had it until my husband left me. Derailed. So where is my reliance? It looks like on my husband, then on me, and then on God. That's not right. The facts tell me that my reliance has been on my husband, my automatic disassociated self takes me to self-reliance, to husband-reliance, to you-reliance. And my goal is to have absolute dependence on God. But it's not all bad. In my previous times, this would have sent me reeling for years back into bulimia before I had another chance of recovery. And I had enough presence of mind to take measures with reliance on God, with all my spiritual deposits into my spiritual bank that enabled me to look at what I need to do. My reliance hasn't been sufficient. I need to ramp up my reliance in God. And how do I do that? For me, I need to stay in the present. I'll just conclude by saying that if I am present instead of being on automatic, if I'm in the moment, if I can bring God into the picture with me every second of the day, I'm okay. The problem is I forget. So I just need to stay connected to my power, because with him, all things are possible. I am back to being free from bulimia, even though I picked
Thank
up.
You.
That is a miracle.
Thank you, Irene.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We'll now have Robin P. followed by Donna B. Go ahead.
Did you say Robin P.? I'm having
Go ahead,
trouble
Robin.
Here. Okay, thank you. Hi, it's Robin P. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Thank you so much for your service today. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. They never apologize for God. Instead, we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. We ask him to remove our fear. You know, I always thought the fear was the truth. And that was like, oh, if I had the fear, it was right. instead of, wow, it's false evidence appearing real. And the old F everything and run, you know. And I really see that it is the self-reliance. I grew up in so much child abuse that I thought, well, if there was a God and there was a Satan, it always looked like Satan won in my house, you know, the scariest, most violent force. And what I've come to learn is leaning and trusting on the care of God and praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And, you know, yesterday we're moving into a different Airbnb every month here in Costa Rica. We just moved here 2 weeks ago and we're seeing different places to live. And the place we went to yesterday didn't work out and we didn't know where to go. So we went back, we asked the person, this wonderful angel woman, who we asked her if we could come back and stay at her place another month, and she needs the money. So it was a blessing for her. She's Costa Rican and she's a very brave woman. And, you know, she's relied on God and we relying on God, and it's a good team. And so we're back here again. And I felt like God saying, don't despair. You're being spared. You didn't need to go to that other place. Just be in my care. And so the more I rely on God, the more faith I can have. It's that circle of trust. And the more I rely on myself, God forbid, the more I separate myself from the power of God, God forbid. So I'm really grateful to be here. I'm so grateful to be abstinent. I could never be doing this faith walk without abstinence. So I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for all of you and for the power of God. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P. Donna B. will have you up next, followed by Diana B. Go ahead, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna Britton. I'm sorry, Donna B., a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. I'm reminded of the phrase, God could and would if he were sought. And I'm reminded of how frequently the Big Book reminds me to seek God. And in this paragraph specifically, it's telling me that if I seek God and ask God to relieve me of my fear, God will. So I've learned that that's both a prayer and promise. And it's such a profound promise. It's such a powerful promise. I live in a constant state of fear. And to know that it's as quote unquote simple as pausing and asking God to relieve my fear with a guarantee that because I'm living in the steps and because I'm entirely abstinent, that fear will be relieved from me. I've recently listened to a person in our fellowship on a couple of different podcast recordings talking about seeking God with awe, with like a childish curiosity, with the expectation that we'll find God, that if you look in a certain square, you know, a little square of mud, and you're looking for bugs, you're going to find bugs. And it's sort of like, I'm so excited, I'm so excited, I'm so excited. And although that's not an innate, natural approach for me to have towards a higher power, I'm practicing. I just love the idea that I can have an attitude of curiosity, expectation, excitement, fun. Like, I love butterflies and had the opportunity to hike a lot this past week. And every time I saw a butterfly, I was genuinely and sincerely happy and excited. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Diana B., you're up next, and then get ready, and we'll have another lineup.
Good morning. Did you mean Dana P?
Sorry, yes, Dana P. Go ahead.
P like pony. Dana P like pony. Grateful recovered anorexic, bulimic, compulsive overeater in California. Thank you so much for your service, and what a beautiful meeting. And this paragraph, we never apologize for God. Well, I never really felt like I needed to apologize for God. You know, I was pretty self-righteous about my God was the God and the God of everything. And so I never felt like that, but really that was just hiding my my insecurity about whether or not God for me was real and whether or not I actually had faith. And I know today that my God is truly everything, and my Heavenly Father, my Divine Mother, my beloved Master that dances and sings with me and lives in me, really the life force. It's everything. It's absolutely everything. And when I came into this program, and you know, also I was a very courageous person, jumping out of airplanes, swimming with sharks, not to mention many other really crazy and not real bright things that I did that made me feel quote unquote courageous. But when I came into this program, what God taught me was surrender and fighting. I spent so much of my life fighting because I was afraid. And I love what was said at F Everything and Run. Thank you, my dear fellow, for sharing that, because that's what I did. You know, I was that little scared rabbit doing crazy stuff to prove that she was courageous and to prove that her God was real. And I wasn't trusting my God. So what came to me this morning as we read this paragraph is, you know, I had to apologize to God, not for God. And I'm just in such awe of people's courage and willingness to come into this program and to continue, despite what may be going on in their lives and or, you know, what they think that they've done or not done incorrectly, losing abstinence, whatever they're doing. And that courage is, and that faith is antithesis to fear. And the prayer, yep, there's instructions right there for us in how to get out of the fear. Turn to God. So thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much. All right, just to remind everyone where we're at, we're on page 68. We never apologize to anyone, and we'll take another lineup of names. Who would like to share?
Sima M. Julie E.B.
Darian K.
I.C.S.
Kelly Q. All right, so I have Sima M., Julie KB, Dara K, Ivy, I did not get your last initial, and Polly. So, Ivy, can you tell me your last initial?
Ivy S, like in Sam.
Okay, and was there a Polly?
Polly Q,
thank you so much. All right, we will head in with that. So, Sima M, if you want to go ahead and share with us. Sima, star one to unmute.
Good morning. Thank you for everyone that's on the line that's making this meeting possible. Sima M, grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery in New Jersey. I've been on Vision for You for 7 years, and it's really made a big difference in my life. But I don't go on every day anymore because thanks to the way the program works, the message of the Vision for You has seeped into a lot of the other meetings, and people are working on the steps through the Big Book and other ways, and so I've branched out to other meetings. But today I really needed to be on this meeting, and for some reason God told me, and I called in, and I heard what I needed to hear about fear. And because I have a fear now, although I've been abstinent for 8 years, I have gained weight. And I don't have a nutritionist, and I don't choose to go back to that way of managing my food, because I've been in OA for 47 years, and the way I've been working it has worked. And for 5 or 6 years, I maintained my weight. But now I have a fear that I have to change my food plan and listen to a nutritionist, and I have a fear about that. And this meeting reminded me that I don't have to have a fear about anything. I just have to rely on my higher power, and my higher power will guide me to where I need to be, which is probably partially to accept that I've gained weight because I'm going to be 70 years old and my body is changing, and partially to be willing to change the way I eat if that's what God wants for me. So I just need to keep being willing, and I really needed to hear this message about fear. And thank you all for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And thank you, A Vision for You, who's changed my life. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sima M. Julie KB, share with us, followed by Darian K. Thank you.
Hi, this is Julie EB, gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. And I'm just so grateful today to be on this meeting. And to, you know, one of the things that, you know, for me, I don't usually talk about that much about my food or my weight, but you know, when I had COVID for 10 weeks a year ago or so, I'm just blessed not to have died. But, you know, it was all just starting. And you know, I wasn't active, and I wasn't allowed to be overeating or undereating. So I gained that weight, and I stayed at a different weight. And as I transitioned out of scrubs with a little bit less transmission and into regular clothes at work, I just am aware of that, of clothes not fitting, those things. And those could all bring up old fears. And what I thought was that fear would help me. I thought my fears were the number one greatest motivator in the world. But since I that I, although powerless, that I won't go back into the anorexic way of life, I'm just living the same and at the same different, slightly increased weight. For over a year now, and abstinent, and so it all looks different, and that's what relying on God means to me today, and it's all about what God would have me be, and the word always comes, a growing, unfolding child of the universe, not what God would have me do and do and do, but what would God have me be. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie B. We'll now have Darian K. Darian, do you want to share with us?
Yep. Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly
okay.
Fine. Go ahead.
Great. Okay, this is Darian K. Excuse me, in the Berkshires in Massachusetts. Grateful to be on the line with all of you. And being vulnerable, I mean, talking about fear, I don't want anyone really to know that I'm afraid of anything. I'd rather think, you know, that you all think I'm, you know, doing fine and coasting through life and, you know, it's all smooth sailing. But that couldn't be further from the truth. And so, you know, I'm presently writing my fourth step, and fear is huge. It always has been. I've written many fourth steps, and fear is, seems to be that corroding thread, right? Corroding thread of the fabric of my life. And so trusting and relying on God has to be the way it is. And it's, I'm just so grateful that I know that today, you know, that I can turn things over. It might not happen as quickly as I'd like it to, you know, anticipate as quickly, but I know that that's the action I need to take. And then also the action of, like it says, you know, letting him demonstrate through us what he'll have us be. And so I feel like that just tells me that giving service talking to a newcomer, calling somebody on the phone, or showing up, or being present for the people in my life, not just program people, but the people that I live with and that I care about, instead of thinking about myself, is a great demonstration of, you know, relieving myself of fear, for the moment anyway. But, you know, I think it's human nature to be afraid and to be unsure, especially the unknown. I feel like that's the biggest one for me, is just not knowing and preparing for something, being prepared. And so, just trusting. And I would never know this, never, unless I found program in my life. I always thought that faith was synonymous with religion, and that my faith needed to be in a structure, you know, a synagogue, you know, learning the language and learning the traditions. And now I realize that, you know, faith is courage, and faith is, you know, really relying on a higher power of our own conception, a practical God that helps me every day. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Darian K. We'll now have IVS followed by Polly Q. Go ahead and share with us, IVS.
Hi, Ivy, compulsive overeater and bulimic. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Ivy. Ivy, we can't hear you.
Hi.
Star one. There you go. Now I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Ivy, compulsive overeater and bulimic. It's IVS, like in Sam. Grateful to be on the line. I haven't shared in a while, so really grateful to be here. This is such a, this was huge for me to do a fear inventory. I had never done a fear inventory before. I had done a resentment inventory. But this time doing the steps with a sponsor and getting abstinent from my alcoholic foods and doing this inventory, oh my goodness, it was huge. First of all, I had never actually allowed myself to feel fear. It was such an uncomfortable and overwhelming emotion that I would just eat, you know, I would eat instead, you know. And so I rarely felt fear, but I sure ate over many things, including fear. But I like how it says here, and people have already shared about it, but, you know, I just want to reiterate how it says here, that we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. And when it says here also that one of my favorite sentences is, we asked him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. And it was such a new concept to me that when I felt fear, there was a solution. I did not know that before, that when I feel fear, I don't have to run to the store, or I don't have to eat over it. There was actually a solution, that when I am in fear, I can surrender my will, which is full of fear. My will is full of fear. And instead I can ask, what is God's will for me right now in this moment? What would he have me be? And listen for my higher powers, love and direction in this moment when I'm in whatever situation that is. And what a relief, you know, what a relief to know that there is a solution, and it's not in the food, and that I can ask, you know, and like somebody else said, when seeking my higher powers direction, that that I can find him, and he's in his kind and loving arms. So for that, I'm grateful, and I'm grateful for this meeting and for all of you and for this just everybody's wisdom. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ivy. We'll now have Polly Q share with us, and we may have time for maybe a 2-minute share after Polly. Polly, go ahead.
Hi, this is Polly Q in Northern California. Thank you, moderator, for your service. I woke up this morning in fear. I had no plans actually to listen to this meeting this morning. Isn't that God? Because, man, I'm the fear chick. No doubt about it. I am the one. And it didn't hit me how much fear I was in until I realized I was dwelling on the past, and I mean the way past, regarding addiction and being with an addict and being an addict. And then all the way to the future, what's the future going to hold? And I don't go to the future for me, honey. I go to it for the entire world, okay? I'm thinking about the Middle East and China and India. This kind of flipped out chick I am, okay? And that's how the disease hits me. And, like, I was in it for, like, 30 minutes before I realized how much fear I was in. And I was in a fear-based place yesterday, and I knew it, and I did a 10-step on it. But this morning, it was still lingering. And then I get on this meeting and look at where we're at. Look at the page we're at and the fear prayer. And I'm telling you, you know what strikes me about this morning is that faith is courage. And so really what I'm afraid of, I don't have enough faith. I'm afraid I don't have enough faith. But it's so great because I don't have to. I just work the steps. And I just have faith in what I know how to do. Because my experience sponsoring and being sponsored and being in this disease and being out of this disease is I don't have to figure it out. If I do, man, I have reason to fear. All I have to do is work the steps. Somebody already said it, the 4-step, the 10-step. Outreach, outreach, outreach. I just got to call up and get your faith. See, I call up, get your faith. And my higher power will say, here I am, sweetie. Here I am. I'm right here. I'm right here. I didn't leave you. You're not abandoned. I will be right here with you. So it's really never about me thinking anything or being anything. It's just doing the work. And the work is easy unless I keep not doing it. If I don't do it, I'll be abandoned. And I'm so grateful I'll be abandoned fast in my head. And then the disease will come in and it'll be all about me figuring it out. And I'll go right to fear really fast. So I'm so grateful for this book. I'm so grateful for you because you're just a call away, you know? You're just a text away. I am too for you. Man, take my name and number. I'll call you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much, Polly Q. We have about 2 minutes left. Does somebody want to take us out in that 2 minutes? Anyone? All right. Well, we can actually close the meeting and leave some extra time at the end for announcements and stuff. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Can I get Julie E.B. to please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Go ahead. Julie E.B., star one. Christina, are you there?
This is Christina. Let me pull it up real quick. Hang on. 164, right?
Page 164. Thank you, Christina.
You'll die if you could see what I'm rushing from. 164. Oh, God, it's a sensitive. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation. What you can do each day for the man who is still sick. the answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.